Brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I'm Doug McBurney, host of the Weekly Worldview. Bob is out today. He is at the doctor's office having his highly attenuated visual acuity modulated for or something like that. He's at the doctor for something far less fashionable than COVID-19. He's just getting his eyes checked, or he might be getting them rejiggered there. I'm Doug McBurney. I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview. If you like Bob Enyart Live, you can hear my less cerebral imitation of Bob Enyart Live over at the Weekly Worldview, or get it wherever you get your popular podcasts. Yes, indeed. Let's see now. Where do we want to start? I was driving into the studio this morning, and I listened to several allegedly conservative talk show hosts, and they were depressed. They were all depressed because Mitch McConnell got up and congratulated President-elect Joe Biden. And gave special attention to Vice President-elect, a first African-American woman. I think he said woman of color.
America's first woman of color, Vice President-elect, Kamala Harris.
I think is what he said. And that depressed everybody. But don't be depressed. Don't be depressed that Joe Biden is apparently the president-elect and has managed to steal the election in broad daylight and in the middle of the night at all hours of the day in front of God and everybody. He did it. And he stole it fair and square. And in a system like this, that stands, unfortunately, at least for the moment. Although we can still hold out hope that someday the truth will be revealed. And it will be revealed. But perhaps not in this lifetime. Perhaps not in this election cycle. Perhaps not until Kamala Harris has to run against whoever the Republicans put up. Anyway, so let's move on so we don't get depressed about that. I want to elaborate on something I mentioned on yesterday's show. I mentioned the kid at AutoZone. I don't know if I mentioned that it was AutoZone in particular, and I'm not a big fan of AutoZone. They don't advertise here, and so I don't want to promote them in any way. They sell very cheap, lousy automobile products. Almost all the stuff in the AutoZone is cheap and breaks quickly. But I found myself in the AutoZone because I needed wiper blades. Mm-hmm. And so I go through the AutoZone on my phone. I'm trying to figure out which size blades do I need for this particular vehicle. Why? Because I know the kid at AutoZone is not going to be able to help me. The only way he can help me is if he looks it up on his computer. And why should I waste my time interacting with him when I can look it up on my own computer? So I'm walking through the store looking at various cheap Chinese imported automobile parts. Tapping away on my phone, I found out I needed a 21-inch and a 20-inch wiper blade for that particular vehicle. And so I went and I picked my wiper blades. I picked the cheapest, lousiest wiper blades there are, because that's pretty much all you can get anymore. Cheap and lousy. Now, you can pay very little for them at the left side, or you can pay an exorbitant amount at the far right side, but they're all the same cheap Chinese garbage. And so I picked my wiper blades and I went up to the desk to check out. And I was not wearing a mask because I've made it a point to never wear a mask unless I'm told to wear a mask. And then I try to say something to the person telling me to wear the mask to try to make that person think for just a moment. So I'm at the auto parts store during the stay-at-home order, by the way. I had been ordered to stay at home. Now, the first thing I noticed was that the kid did not ask me why I was not at home. It was not raining outside, but I was buying wiper blades. So why did he not say, "Sir, it's not raining. This is not an emergency. You should be staying at home. You obviously don't need wiper blades right now." But he did not ask me. He did not ask me, well, sir, how far can you see out of your windows right now with the wiper blades you have? Are you sure these wiper blades are essential? No, he didn't question me about the fact that I was flagrantly breaking quarantine. I obviously was not staying at home, but then again, neither was he. And is AutoZone really essential? Anyway, hey, have you folks noticed that they changed the name of the whatever it is, the emergency order? They changed it from a quarantine to a stay-at-home order. Yeah. Now, the true believers still insist it's a quarantine. And that's how you can tell if they're true believers, if they talk about the quarantine. But those of us who know the truth, we speak of it as a lockdown. It's a lockdown. It's a lockdown order. But they had to change the name to stay at home because even the stupid and relatively uninitiated cannot be told any longer that this is a quarantine. Because there is a chance that given enough time to slack off and get bored, they might jump on Google and they might get around to finding out what a quarantine actually is. And they might realize they're being lied to, that this is not a quarantine. Maybe I'm being lied to and manipulated. So they just call it a stay-at-home order. Well, what is that? Shut up, stay at home. Don't ask us what that is. So anyway, I think there's really little chance that the average American will make that connection. But, you know, if they realize that this wasn't a quarantine, they might not be quite as fervent in their enforcement if they actually realize what was going on. So anyway, the clerk at AutoZone, who I mentioned on yesterday's show so briefly, he said, can you please put on your mask? And I told him I've already deposited viruses and bacteria and whatever other pathogens have been hanging out in my lungs and my nasal cavity. Bacteria, all kinds of nasty stuff. I've been spewing it out of my mouth for the last 5 minutes as I've been walking around your store. And he just looked at me with that dead stoner look. And he just said, look, man, that's the rules. So I put on my mask. I have a special mask that I wear. It is affixed with bold type letters in about a 35 font. And it says tyranny on top, just below my nose. And then it says treason on the bottom, just above my chin. So I put on the mask. And his eyes registered absolutely nothing. He looked at the mask, and he's just dead inside. Just looks at the mask, starts punching in the keys to ring me up. And I said, you know, mindlessly obeying rules is how you end up shoving Jews into an oven, like in World War II. Again, just a deadpan, nothing look. And so I realized perhaps he's not familiar with the Holocaust and the Jews in World War II. So I asked him, I said, are you familiar with what happened to the Jews in World War II? And he gives me that AutoZone clerk stoner grin. Not really, man. And so I kind of mumbled under my breath, like something about how his idiotic generation is going to lose the country. Something about there are malevolent forces of darkness out there and they're going to take everything you have and they're going to either kill you and your family or they're going to throw you all in prison. And again, he just kind of stares at me with the half-open eyes. You can remove your card, sir. Anyway. Well, so maybe I planted a seed. Maybe at some point he'll think about something. Maybe. Or maybe he'll go and look up the Jews in World War II. Maybe not. Anyway, let's go now. We go now to the personhood file where we check in with Mayor Eric Garcetti, who, for some reason, is the mayor of Los Angeles County, one of the largest, most populous, most sophisticated counties in the country. I think it's the 11th or 12th largest economy in the world is Los Angeles County. And somehow, Eric Garcetti is in charge. And he said this past week that COVID-19 is, quote, the greatest threat to life in Los Angeles that we have ever faced. Ever. Says Eric Garcetti. Huh. Imagine that. You know what else he said? He said, we know that COVID-19 rapidly spreads as a result of our own behavior. But we also know that we can slow the spread by wearing a mask and by washing our hands. Mr. Garcetti, I would refer you to my show, The Weekly Worldview, from, I don't know, it might have been a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, Mr. Garcetti. I would recommend you go back and listen to all three shows. And then maybe you'll find in there the study that the United States Marine Corps did amongst their recruits. Did you get a chance to hear about this? He asked his board op. The Marine Corps recruits washed their hands and they wore masks and they practiced social distancing and they all walked in the same direction, which they do a lot of that anyways. And none of it did anything. They had a control group and then it was a very well conducted study. And washing your hands means virtually nothing. I mean, it might prevent you from getting other bacterial infections in your gut. It's good for that. But as far as an aerosol respiratory virus, the whole washing your hands and wearing a mask and the 6 feet social distancing, and it really is meaningless to anything scientific, but it means a lot to Eric Garcetti. And he says we know that we can slow the spread, although all of the evidence from March until now seems to indicate that we can't slow the spread. I think every Denver Bronco got this thing by now. Did every Bronco get it? Nobody ever told me how that was resolved when the Broncos didn't have a quarterback. Dude, anyway, I was talking to a Bronco fan last night, and I asked him I said, how did that work out when the Broncos didn't have a quarterback? He said, we haven't had a quarterback all year. Didn't matter at all. There's supposed to be a drum roll. Anyway, let's go back to Eric Garcetti in Los Angeles. Why? Because it's warmer there. No, just because we want to check in with a fool. Not just a fool, but a bloodthirsty, murderous, killer fool, Eric Garcetti. According to Los Angeles County health officials, there have been about 8,000 deaths so far attributed to COVID in Los Angeles County. About 8,000 so far this year, and it's the year is almost over. I want to remind Eric Garcetti that according to the best figures that we can find, and they're hard to find, by the way, there are about 12,000 innocent children murdered in abortion clinics in Los Angeles County every year. There will be about 12,000 murdered this year, and there have been about 12,000 or more, because they kind of fudge the numbers out there in California. It's hard to know exactly how many innocent children are murdered in abortion clinics. But about 12,000 a year in Los Angeles County every year, documented for the past 30 years. That's every year. So that's 360,000 dead so far, with another 12,000 next year, and another 12,000 the year after that, and then the year after that. Unless people like Mayor Eric Garcetti are shown the door or shown the light and see the light. And so that's what we do here at Bob Benyart Live, is we show the light. And COVID-19 is not the most serious threat to life Los Angeles has ever seen. In fact, it's people like Eric Garcetti and the public policies they endorse and promote that promote the murder of innocent people that are, in fact, the greatest threat to life actually scientifically observed on a daily basis in Los Angeles. But all of the, no, I'm going to leave that aside. I'm not going to say that because this isn't my show. I would say something. Anyway, let's move on. We'll move on to the sad religion file. That's what I felt like I was listening to as I was driving into the studio. By the way, speaking of wiper blades, this is kind of ironic. I was driving in this morning to the studio here in Metro Denver, Colorado, where the roads are icy and slushy and sloppy and slippery. And my wiper fluid reserve tank became empty early on in the trip. And so I had that struggle with, am I going to drive all the way to the studio while looking through this white haze that's just getting whiter and harder to see? Or am I going to pull over and find out what's going on with my wiper fluid reserve tank? Anyway, I drove almost all the way to the studio. I finally had to pull over to a gas station, where I discovered that it was empty. But fortunately, I had purchased a gallon of wiper fluid, and I had it there in the back. And so when I return the vehicle to its rightful owner, it will have a full tank of wiper fluid, because I'm a good person. I know I don't wear a mask, but I will not leave your vehicle not filled with wiper fluid in a critical situation like is happening in Denver over the next 48 hours or so. So there. Oh, I was going to Sad Religion. Oh, yes, driving in. I felt like I was listening to a really sad sermon at church as I switched between the various allegedly conservative talk show hosts. They're all down and out and down in the mouth and all of that. But I've got an even sadder religion report from the NOQ report. NOQ, which I believe stands for News, Opinion, and Quotes. It's a good news source. I go there quite often. And the author at NOQ tells us that there are virtually no churches defying the tyrannical dictates surrounding COVID-19. Now, there are a few. I went to one on Sunday, although I think we're no longer brazenly defiant. I think the government has actually capitulated to our church's position, actually. But we were in flagrant violation as often as we could be until the government finally bent the knee and allowed us to have church with as many people as we can get there and with no mask mandate and no strict limits on the attendance, on the, what do you call that, the population of the attendees, I guess. There's no limit to how many people we can wedge into those pews. And since we're all going to be sitting close together, we do appreciate it if you do wash your hands. That's all we ask. So anyway, but most of the churches around the country are closed. So it's, that is kind of depressing. The reporter at the NOQ report talks about pastors in the pulpit telling their congregants. They're not in the pulpit, by the way. They're at home in their PJs, and you can see their blankets and pillows kind of crumpled up in the background as they're giving their sermon, and their hair's all messed up. They didn't shave. They're giving their sermon from like the edge of their bed. It's really weird. But he's telling these pastors apparently are telling congregants, virtual congregants, that wearing a mask means loving your neighbor. Apparently, there's been whole sermons constructed around, what does it mean to love your neighbor? It means to wear a mask and to social distance. And if you wanted to get together with those you love, cancel that, because that's how you show them that you love them. That's been the fare at the average mainline church, apparently. And the NOQ reporter laments the fact that soon pastors will be lying about how getting a vaccine is loving your neighbor. I'm sure they're preparing the sermons right now on how to love your neighbor by getting a vaccine. And then we're reminded by the folks at NOQ that Protestantism is built upon civil disobedience. And I hadn't really thought about that, but it really is true. The entire Protestant church began as an act of civil disobedience, because back then the church, I mean, it pretty much ran the government. Listen to this. This is an interesting quote from the author. I'll link to this. I did not get the author's name, because I never have time for that, but I linked to their article, which I think is better for them to actually link to their article. So I'll do that. He says, back in March, churches like Eve were deceived into disobedience. Several months later, it is an act of defiance, like Adam. So if your pastor has not opened his church at this point, you should consider coming to Denver Bible Church. Our doors are open, and you won't even get in trouble. You can just come on in and you'll hear the gospel and bring a Bible, because we open it every Sunday. Now, the point of the article here and why it's in the Sad Religion file is that the author at NOQ Report talks about the gym in Belmar, New Jersey. We've all heard about the gym in Belmar, New Jersey, with the guy with the awesome beard. Probably the best beard I've ever seen. I'm no beard aficionado, so to speak, but if I were to find myself judging a beard contest, the gym owner in Belmar, New Jersey would definitely be in the top. He'd probably win the contest. That's quite a beard. Anyway, he's been arrested. He's been fined over $1 million. He's been locked out of his gym, right? They put up plywood over the doors, and him and his partner, they smashed in the plywood and broke into their own gym so they could go in and lift weights. And their gym is still open. They do not require masks. They do not require social distancing. And so while 99% of the pastors in the country are on bended knee before the dictates of clinically insane dictatorial maniacs, like Gavin Newsom and, well, if Colorado had a governor, it would be your governor here if I could think of him by name. But we know that he's persona non grata here at the Bob and Yart Live Show. But it made me think of something as I thought about this as I was driving into the studio today. If you look around, it would appear that physical fitness is now America's dominant religion over any form of Christianity. Because there's a gym like every other block. There's a 24-hour gym. There's a 19-hour gym. There's the big name brand gym. There's the gym that's, well, right now they're in chapter 11 bankruptcy, chapter 13, I forget what you call it. Some form of bankruptcy. There's gyms everywhere. Have you noticed that? And not that there's anything wrong with physical fitness, that's fine. But it seems to me that the gyms now dominate the churches as the main form of worship in America. So people worship their abs instead of worshiping God. And they worship their abs like three times, four times a week. You know, you can barely drag them to church on Christmas and Easter and they don't even know why. I guess they're there to see what sort of fashions are on display. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's just a sad commentary on the state of religion in America. And that's why I'm so glad that Bob Enyart and Denver Bible Church do not participate in religion. They participate in the healthy promotion of a study of the Word of the living God and a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, which can lead you to eternal salvation. And it can even help you deal with the dark and dreary and depressing days of the COVID-19 lockdowns and all of that stuff. So I guess that's all I got to say on that. Now, did I say don't be depressed? I'm trying to remember now. Why did I say don't be depressed? Oh, that's right, because there still are churches like Denver Bible Church. You can come out there. And it's all very, very upbeat and inspirational, as a matter of fact. Okay, let's move now away from COVID. Let's wash our hands of the entire affair. And let's talk some politics. Do we want to talk politics or do we want to talk? Well, we can mix politics and morality here. This is from my Emperor's Closet file. According to the Associated Press, They've been carrying out an investigation for quite some time now, and they've identified at least six sexual misconduct allegations involving senior FBI officials over the past 5 years. Really, six in the past 5 years? The AP has they're really off their investigative game, but they've identified at least six. I guess we're in the age where, you know, they say that we just haven't seen enough proof that there was fraud in the election to alter the outcome or to put up any kind of protest, or certainly not to question the president-elect or the vice president-elect,
vice president of Kamala Harris.
So you have to have so much evidence. These must be the FBI officials they actually have on videotape actually harassing people. That's the only, and even then it's still alleged. So they've uncovered a sexual misconduct at the highest ranks of the FBI. They've got incidents of drunken groping, sexual harassment, and even blackmailing. And what's of interest here? It's not really shocking because I can't really be shocked by anything that happens at the FBI anymore. Is that each of the accused FBI officials avoided discipline? They were either quietly transferred or they retired. If they did retire, they kept their full pensions and like that. So they grope, they harass, they blackmail, they retire, they cash their retirement checks. Anyway, the AP says that their count, the six misconduct allegations that they have evidence for, their count does not include high-level FBI supervisors and their romantic relationships with subordinates, which apparently is epidemic throughout the FBI. And the FBI, according to the AP, is a premier law enforcement organization. Yeah, that's the state of the premier law enforcement organization here in America. just filled to overflowing with all kinds of sexually deviant misconduct, harassment, and all of that. And so from there we go, do I want to do this? This is kind of gross. These are two worlds that you never want to see collide. From the Justice File, we have a cartoonist who's been he's been featured in The New Yorker with their cartoons there. His name is Danny Shanahan. He's 64 years old. He's old enough to be somebody's grandpa. And he draws cartoons that make people laugh. And he's been arrested on child pornography charges. Yeah. Worlds collided. You don't want to see the worlds of cartoon and child. Yeah, you just don't want to see that, but there it is. Mr. Shanahan was arrested and then immediately released from jail. Because that's the way it goes. He was ordered to appear in court on January 20th. He's been a cartoonist at The New Yorker for more than 30 years. When asked if he had anything to say, he didn't say anything. He issued a statement via email through a spokesperson, because that's how cartoonists charged with child pornography deal with the public. I'm sure he's hiring a public relations firm right now. But his spokesperson said these accusations are deeply disturbing. Oh, no, he didn't say that. The New Yorker said that. I apologize. The guy who was arrested, he's not talking to anybody. He's hiding out so deep you can't find him with a GPS. But the New Yorker was asked for a comment. They said the accusations are deeply disturbing, and Mr. Shanahan has been suspended. Thank you very much. Now, this child porn cartoonist could face up to 4 years in prison if convicted. Not that that's very likely at all. In fact, it's highly unlikely that he'll be convicted, because he'll probably make some kind of plea agreement where he makes a deal and they shake their hands and they wink and they nod a little bit and they say, you know what, we're going to act as if something else happened here. And then you're going to go on some sort of probation or something. And then a couple of years from now, when this all blows over, we'll have you back at The New Yorker. You'll write some cartoons, but we're going to ask that none of your cartoons parody the subject of child pornography. That's all. So it's not likely that that perverted cartoonist Danny Shanahan will be convicted or sentenced to anything. But what is assured is that pornography will continue to proliferate. Dragging men down, down, down. Dragging American men who used to be good men, who used to be decent, God-fearing men, but with the ubiquitous distribution of pornography, we will all continue. America as a group of men will drag down, down, down into an ever more perverse forms of corrupt behavior, even against children. Even against children. So I would wager that there are better than even odds in this case that the judge in the case against Danny Shanahan has pornography on his computer, and that the prosecuting attorney in the case has pornography on his computer, and even the defense attorney has pornography on his computer. There's more of a chance of that than a perverted cartoonist Danny Shanahan being convicted. And that's the sad state of America. But don't be depressed, because Jesus Christ is still the Lord, and he wins in the end. And I will remind you to do right and risk the consequences.